Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, have we lost our will to stand? There are a number of folks that have. In fact, in the political realm today, most conservative candidates, if I can say this in boldness, most political candidates, even as conservatives and as Christians, have the philosophy some way that if I just be silent about the issues, for example, the sodomite issue, the issue of critical race theory, some of these hot button issues, most political candidates, even as Christians, are too afraid to have someone say they will not vote for them to stand for truth. I think that it's time as Christians we stand for truth. As conservatives, we need to stand for truth. We need to stand in the face of the enemy, realizing that God is on our side. And as Nehemiah told those that were building the wall in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, our God shall fight for you. And I think we've lost the will to fight because we're so prone to want to have the public applaud and the adulation of society that we're willing to bow. But I'm thankful to see many parents in schools across America today where the parents are taking a stand against the socialist, Marxist, LGBTQ, critical race theory, BLM, Marxist approach to society and the teaching of the academics. Our schools today have no longer ceased to be academic institutions. They're simply brainwashing institutions to teach our children and our grandchildren how to hate America. And as a result of that, we see the little Marxist, the woke society today that believes that somehow, some way, the constitutional republic ought to be overthrown, that the representative form of government is not good anymore. It's AOC and the other three, and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, Bernie Sanders, and that whole group that somehow, some way feels that we need to usher in Marxism, socialism, and ultimately it's communism. And as a result of that, we're finding the woke society having a will to stand and the cancel culture in that woke society that's demeaning everything that we stand for and believe as conservatives, Christians, and patriots. But going back to some of these schools, this one says school reverses decision to censor references to God. And it was where Elizabeth Turner was wanting to, in Hillsdale, Michigan, wanted to take a stand and let the world know her faith in Jesus Christ. They told her she couldn't. And this article says because they were confronted. We're grateful to the school officials for acting swiftly to ensure that religious students can freely exercise their right to expressing their faith in a graduation speech. Quote, graduation time is for celebration and not censorship. Students retain their constitutional rights to freedom of expression from elementary school all the way through graduating ceremony. All public schools should protect the private religious expression of their students. The school requiring a copy of the speech in advance and had highlighted these two paragraphs written by Turner. Now, here's what Elizabeth Turner had intended to say in her graduation speech as she was going to speak as the valedictorian for her class. They didn't want her to do so. They ultimately reversed that decision. But here's what she had written in her speech. For me, my future hope is found not in my relationship to Christ, by trusting in Him and choosing to live a life dedicated to bringing His kingdom's glory. I can be confident that I am living a life with purpose and meaning. My identity is found by what God says and who I want to become, which is laid out in the Scriptures for me. Whether we want to admit it or not, not one of us can be certain of how our lives will unfold. But we do know that trials will come. The reality of this is that we face an unpredictable future, and while we are making all these plans to prepare, ultimately none of us are promised tomorrow, making it all the more important that we may count today. School officials had warned her, quote, you're representing the school in the speech, not using a podium for your public forum. You need to be mindful that the inclusion of religious aspects, these are young beliefs, these are strong beliefs, but they are not appropriate for a speech in a school public setting. I know this will frustrate you, but we have to be mindful of others and what they may feel, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that was challenged, and as a result of that, they reversed the decision. Why is that so? Because she stood for truth. She was willing, she had a will to stand and confront evil and to say no. We're not going to do that. We're not going to bow and bend. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what I'm challenging us to do today. In the realization and the recognition that we're living in perilous times, we're living in the dark days, the last days, and with that, we need to have the will to stand. And I'm speaking of the schools and the students. I'm speaking of those that are in the academic realm. I'm speaking of those that are the teachers. I'm talking about those in the political leadership realm. And I'm talking about those in the pulpits and in our churches across the nation today. The will to stand and speak truth in love. And that's what the Bible charges us with the responsibility of doing. It doesn't any place say that a Christian is supposed to bow or bend or to run. You'll not find any evidence of that any place in the Scripture. And yet we have a lot of people saying, well, you know, if the God gives us government, and He does, and if the government says you need to be silent, then we do. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Let me just insert this little parenthetical Youngblood footnote to that statement. In Romans 13th chapter, the first 7 verses, it's dealing with government. And it clearly states that government is a servant of God. And therefore, if God's servant, the government, makes rules, regulations, and laws that's antithetical to God, which is the only power, according to that text in Romans 13. If they make rules and regulations and laws that's antithetical to the will of God, the word of God, or the way of God, and they're not willing to protect the good and to prosecute the evil, then they are no longer acting as servants of God. And Christians ought to recognize that and take a stand, as in the 5th chapter of the book of Acts in the 29th verse, we ought to obey God, not man. And that's what we ought to do today, is to recognize that God would have us to stand. And in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 13, having done all, stand is the charge that we have as the responsibility as Christians. Here's an article that says, Dems blast Christian church for standing up for biblical values and biblical truth. A teacher in Virginia, by the way, if you want to look at the bastion of confusion and frustration and demoralization and a total state of woke society, look at the state of Virginia. A teacher in Virginia spoke out at a public school board meeting against a pro-transgender agenda being considered. The school suspended him. Now he's getting sued for violating his free speech rights. But the controversy now also has embroiled the local Democratic Party, whose members are demanding that a local church pastor recant his support for the teacher's biblical stand. The war has developed in Lowndes County, Virginia, where the Alliance Defending Freedom now suing the school district over its punishment for the free speech of the teacher Byron Tanner Cross. The news is reporting that the county's Democratic leadership is demanding Pastor Gary Hamrick of Cornerstone Chapel Church retract his statements. On Sunday, he had backed an effort to recall six Lowndes County school board members. He told his congregation, quote, listen, this is the essence I want you to hear. He told his congregation, the pastor told his congregation, we've got to take back our schools. What we do today, we do not just throw our arms up and surrender and allow our kids to be taken over by the liberal Marxist ideology. He says further, friends, this is now where we are. Jesus calls us to occupy until he comes. Part of occupying is to be what Jesus calls us to be, which is salt and light. He said, to be passive is to be complicit with what is taking place. Passivity won't work today, ladies and gentlemen. Being silent is not sufficient. We need to take the stand as salt and light. Listen, I've said for many, many, many years now, pastors need to grow a spine. They need to have a backbone to stand in the pulpits and speak the whole counsel of God without any favor or any fear. Pastors today need to come out from under the bed and out of the closet and open the churches and be faithful to God and to God's word and to be salt and light and to lead the congregation to be salt and light in that also. Ladies and gentlemen, there's another article. Watch Furious Mom's Epic Response to the School Teaching Children About Graphic Sex. This article again is about the school system. It was not that long ago that schools were thought to be relatively safe places for our children to learn and to grow into responsible adults. While there were always certain risks to sending a child to school, the material being taught by the teachers was not necessarily one of them. That has all changed in the last couple of years as disgusting ideas about sex, race, and other hot-button topics have become mainstream in American school system. Colfax, Illinois, the bill was called SB 0818, and it mandates that schools teach sex education must use the National Sex Educational Standards. This is an unfunded mandate, this mother says. This is an unfunded mandate that destroys local schools with curriculum. She said in a video posted on Facebook, it sexually grooms your children by introducing sensitive and inappropriate topics. And she goes on and she talks about those topics in graphic terms and how it's being taught in the school. And she's standing up and confronting it. We're talking about today, have we lost our will to stand? Ladies and gentlemen, I say that as Christians, as conservatives, and as patriots, we can't afford to. Here's another one, goes back to Lowndes County in Virginia. In Lowndes County, Virginia, dad has two reasons to take on critical race theory. To let our children become wards of the state is an abject failure of parenting, he said. I, like all of you, live a quiet and private life, like to stay at home. He told a crowd of about 250 people in Leesburg, Virginia, I don't necessarily like to spend my time at school board meetings, but we have to do it. He's a 55-year-old father who one of many concerned Lowndes County parents and teachers and other locals who attended the Saturday rally outside Lowndes County Governmental Center to protest the teaching of critical race theory in the county's public school system. According to the critical race theory, he added, my son should have white guilt and white privilege simply because the color of his skin is white. Critical race theory puts individuals into groups of oppressors and others into groups of victims. According to its proponents, whites are always oppressors, minority groups always being oppressed, according to the critical race theory. He's taken a stand, and that's exactly what I'm promoting us and encouraging us to do today. Here's an article from Family Research Council. Critical race theory is a movement with the radical left at the helm that is taking our society and invading our children's schools, rooted in Marxist ideology. CRT seeks to con Americans into thinking our history was and remains fundamentally racist. CRT demands that we despise and oppose the traditional values of faith and family that America is built on today, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Do you think that we need to be silent? Do you think that Christians need to take a stand? The default term that is used today, ladies and gentlemen, if you confront the critical race theory, is that you're just a racist. If you confront what is being taught in our schools, if you say that 2 and 2 equals 4, they're saying you're racist. In fact, with the teaching today, based on the critical race theory, is that it is unethical, it is unlawful, it is unreal to teach math in a classroom where you say 2 and 2 is 4. Because if you require an absolute answer to 2 and 2, then that's racist. And you're talking white supremacist then. And ladies and gentlemen, that is simply unethical. It is ungodly. And we ought not to be silent as a citizen, as parents and as grandparents in our nation today. We need to take the stand. But ladies and gentlemen, the police are needful. But if you say we need to not defund the police departments, you're racist. This is a good example of the American culture today, ladies and gentlemen. Even in religious denominations, the world system of thinking appears to have taken full control of our denominations across America. Every mainline denomination today, including the Southern Baptist Convention, that's just finishing their meeting today in Nashville, Tennessee. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset that conventions and nations' denominational leadership needs to bow, listen carefully, that there's a mindset that the leadership and our denominations need to bow to political correctness and to bow to the woke society and to bend to the demands of not wanting to be called racist. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. When a person does not have the academic ability, when a person does not have the intellectual ability to have a discussion, a dialogue, and a debate on an issue without using the default term racism or racist, that's indicative of the lack of understanding, the lack of intelligence to be able to carry on a sane conversation. I have no appreciation, no patience with the person that everything you want to say, you're just a racist. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a push around the globe today for a reset of our churches to be folded into the culture of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and the culture of the agenda of the critical race theory, which is a Marxist ideological bent. In Karl Marx's philosophy, if you want to make a nation socialist and communist, you divide it by culture, and in his setting, divided by societal positions, and today it's a divisiveness, using the Karl Marx theory, it's a divisiveness based on race. That's the critical race theory today. And ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not something that we should embrace as a denomination or as denominations or as Christians in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, the Southern Baptist Convention has had a fight since its start this year's meeting, and I can throw rocks because I'm on the outside looking in. But ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand what's taking place in that realm. Looking at an article that says movement wants to make Southern Baptist Convention conservative again. This particular writer says that there's a push to make Southern Baptist Convention conservative again. Ladies and gentlemen, I can go back in history and tell you about what took place in 1979, 80, and 81, where it was a battle for the Bible within the convention because it was a challenge for the inerrancy and the authority of the scriptures that took place in 79, 80, and 81 in the Southern Baptist Convention. That same thing's reoccurring now under a different topic, a different title. They're challenged today about critical race theory and about the LGBTQ and about what is called the feminist movement within the denomination. The feminist movement, trickling down, if you put it very bluntly and very clearly, there's the debate, ladies and gentlemen, within the convention in the wisdom of the leaders, whether or not a female, a woman, should be ordained to be the pastor in a local New Testament church. Well, now, if the Bible speaks on that issue, and it does very clearly, that a woman is not to usurp authority over the man, and in the context it's talking about in the church setting, in the worship service, God created us equal, male and female, God created us equal, Jew, Gentile, or Greek. God created us equal. There's no divisiveness. But when it comes to responsibility and the leadership role, God places the man as the head of the home, the head of the church, and as the head of the national leadership should be a man figure. God ordained it. I didn't. I'm just God's water boy carrying the bucket telling you the news. But this article says, weeks before the election, Truett McConnell, University president, Amir Kanner, told fellow Southern Baptists, we are in a battle for the soul of our nation and denomination. And he goes on to talk about 500 people meeting for the religious liberty event at the university's campus in Cleveland, Georgia. And within a few days, over 10,000 had watched on Facebook. Speakers criticized political correctness and cancel culture, urging believers to focus on biblical practices over social justice. They prayed for bold biblical preaching and godly leadership for their churches and for their country. The article goes further. The gathering as an attempt to save the nation's largest denomination from a radical group of never-Trumpers and woke critical racist theorists. The group responsible for the event was the Conservative Baptist Network. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read further in the article, but time won't allow it. It's a massive article. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, they've just elected a new president of the convention. And I can sit back and talk about it, having known for years something about the background. We do not associate with or affiliate with as part of that group, that convention. But I want you to understand I'm vitally interested because as that group, that convention goes, so goes religious liberties and freedoms in our nation. It's the nation's largest evangelical Christian church organization, having 14.4 million followers today. 2016, it was 16.2 million. About 2.2 million have been lost in the past three or four or five years as a result of the infighting, as a result of the critical race theory. This article says Ed Litton, a pastor known for radical and racial reconciliation, is surprise winner for the SBC presidency. Nashville, Tennessee, dated June the 15th. Ed Litton, the relatively unknown senior pastor of the Redemption Church in Saraland, Alabama, defeated two prominent rivals to be elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention during his session at the SBC's annual meeting Tuesday, June 15th. Litton made racial reconciliation a hallmark of his work since the 2014 riot after the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. Littleton's election is considered a defeat for hard right conservatives in the Southern Baptist Convention's recent battle over race, sexual abuse, and gender roles. Also, when it talks about sexual abuse and gender roles, it's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ group and the LGBTQ agenda, which has been absolutely infiltrating into the convention. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, this man's been elected on the basis that he's going to be able to bring about peace and harmony between the groups. They've got within the umbrella of the convention the rank liberals, I call them the loose likes, lost liberals, the moderates, those that ride the fence and the mamsy-pamsy, won't take a stand on biblical truth. Then you have the conservatives, which they're now calling the hard right conservatives, that take a stand on thus saith the word of God. And I don't know about you, but I stand with that group of morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, and I think that's the way it ought to be. This article says the close vote, however, was with Litton only winning a majority by 2%, highlighted the deep divide within the denomination, gave some conservatives hope for the future in the convention. And ladies and gentlemen, here's another article that's touching on that. It says Luther, Greer, latest Southern Baptist leaders to weigh in as turmoil over race theory grows. And ladies and gentlemen, it talks about the Southern Baptist Convention progressively going toward the all-inclusive. Here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. Within the realm of the Southern Baptist Convention, they're taking a political correctness agenda, bringing it into the household of faith, and they're looking at it on what the world is saying and what the nation is saying about the critical race theory, and they're trying to broaden the tent, broaden the stakes, if you please, broaden the umbrella, and want it to be inclusive so that everybody can come in. It was Dr. J.D. Greer, when he was elected in 2019 over the organizational structure of the Southern Baptist Convention, that said we need to embrace the LGBTQ and bring them in because their sin is no greater than the sin of gluttony that most Christians participate in. And I quote directly what he said. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a vast difference in biblical truth and in trying to be politically correct and having a large enough umbrella so that everybody can come into the tent. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this very, very clearly, very succinctly. In the body of Christ, you have saved people, those that have been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, those that have come out of deep, deep sin, perhaps, and have said yes to Jesus Christ. And as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, and then in verse 11, he says, "And such were some of you, but you have been washed, you've been baptized, you've been brought into the body of Christ, you're saved." And what was he talking about? He was talking about those that had come out of the homosexual lifestyle, those that had come out of a murderous, lying, cheating, stealing lifestyle. And says, "But you are saved." This article says some of the Southern Baptists appear to be more concerned with political maneuvering than radical diversity, and suggests that Southern Baptists has co-opted with the political forces on the outside. And that's exactly right. There's a co-opting of what is politically correct, bringing it into the tent of the Southern Baptist Convention, and ladies and gentlemen, it will destroy the integrity of the Word of God. It is my position that we need to stop the battle for the truth of the Word of God in denominations. Every mainline denomination in America today have some way, somehow embraced the critical race theory, the sodomite lifestyle called the LGBTQ agenda, and the abortion mindset brought out by Planned Parenthood. And it's because the recent Barna report shows that, or the Gallup poll shows, that only 6% of American Christians have a truly biblical worldview. And only 4% of the millennials, the 18 to 34-year-old, 35-year-old age group, has a biblical worldview. And out of that, the clinching of morals and ethics and values and clinging on to biblical truth, we are embracing what the world says. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to take a stand for truth. It's time for us to get back to the Bible. We must stand against the H.R. 5 that's in the House, in the Senate today, that will destroy the Christian church. We must stand against the critical race theory that's being taught in our public schools and the public agenda today. We must continue to stand against the Marxist agenda to overthrow our nation. We must continue to stand, ladies and gentlemen, against the critical race theory and all that it connotes in our churches, in our families, in our homes, and in the government. Yes, we can be silent no longer. We need to take a stand for truth, the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.